love. Some may say that Lewis, this man in this video we just watched, got what he deserved in that video. A ride on the conveyor belt and some seriously painful injuries as a result of his seriously rude, obnoxious, and painful responses to people. Others may say that Lewis got what he did not deserve, a Christmas gift laced with grace from one of the people whom he so crudely offended in the story that day. But regardless, Lewis entered the store with pride and exited with more humility than he probably realized he needed. And in his humble state, Lewis became a candidate to receive one of the gifts of Christmas, grace. Grace is what we get when we don't deserve it or when we don't get something we do deserve. You're in a hurry, and suddenly you're caught speeding, and the officer walks back to your car and says, "I'll let you off with a warning." That may be grace. Or you are caught up in the busyness of the shopping at this season. You've got 101 things to do and 50 places to go, and you've got your day outlined, and all of a sudden you're caught in traffic, and you say, you know, it might be a good thing for me to get a coffee. So you go into the Tim Hortons drive-thru because you figure that'll save you time. I'll take the drive-thru. And suddenly you realize it would have been easier for you to park your car, run in and out, because this line's not moving anywhere. And you're sitting there and you're tapping the steering wheel. All I want is a coffee. I don't know what's taking the person in front of me so long. And as you're going up to the window and you finally get there, you want to say to the person that's serving you, "I really want to thank you for taking up half of my day to get this coffee." And the young lady takes the coffee, hands it through the window and says, "The person in front of you paid for you. Have a great day." That might be considered grace. But it's something for us to think about when we think of the gift of grace. Although Jesus certainly is the reason for the season, somewhere along the way, Lewis unfortunately became wound up in the religious quest to be right instead of worthwhile pursuit to be right with other people. That is part of what grace is about, being right with others. Now, I want you to know that I understand the Merry Christmas versus the Happy Holidays war that is taking place. It's a battle that's been going on for several years. As I was growing up, I remember that there was someone in our church at a meeting, it might have been a prayer meeting, and they stood up and they said, "I want you to know that I went to a store today and on the window it had Xmas. And I want you to know right now that I won't shop at that store or any other store that puts Xmas on the window or any of its flyers. Christmas." And I understand people think, you know, like you're taking Christ out of Christmas, but I think there's something else that needs to be realized here. You see, when we get into these, we can get into these little wars, and listen, folks, we've seen the emails going, and many of you have probably forwarded them about Happy Holidays, and the Rockefeller Center tree is referred to as the holiday tree, and all these things. And I look at it, and our message suddenly becomes, "I'll show them." And as soon as we do that, we forget that we're not showing them Jesus. See, I know who I'm celebrating at Christmas. I know it's all about Jesus. But not everybody out there does. And so they start using the words "Happy Holidays" and other things. And I'm reminded that when Jesus came into this world, he came into a world of darkness. And there's a lot of darkness in our community. Darkness when it's compared to the light of the Scriptures and people don't know, and we're going, "Listen, it's not Happy Holidays, it's Merry Christmas." And we get defensive. And I think we need to realize that the message of grace says we need to take Jesus into our community. We need to extend those wishes. Hey, no one's going to stop me from wishing somebody a Merry Christmas. But there's a grace issue. We get caught up, as Lewis was in the battle, of this whole idea of wanting to say what's right, and we lose focus of what it means to be right with other people. The gift of grace. Grace is less about being right and more about being right with one another. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." In Isaiah 9:6, those familiar words that we've read already a couple times in this season. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God the Father has given his Son to this world. And I could ask you the question this morning, did the world deserve God's gift? And I'd say no. I would look in the Bible and I'd see that God created man and woman. He gave them the instructions to follow these instructions. Man wanted to do his own thing in rebellion. Sin, because of the rebelliousness, sin came into this world. And so God continued to be faithful to his creation. But over and over again, they proved that they were a rebellious people, a willful people. And in this time when Jesus was sent into the world, did man deserve this gift? And the answer is no. But the question is, did man need this gift? And the question is, it's just an astounding, loud yes. Yes, man needed this gift. If we use this definition, grace is less about being right and more about being right with one another, we see at the core of the character of God a desire to be in a relationship that is made right. God had not done anything wrong, but there was a commitment on God's part to his creation that things would be made right. And that's grace. Next week, we'll be looking at this whole idea of this relationship being restored. We're going to be looking at the gift of reconciliation in a little bit more detail. But this morning, I want us to be thinking about this gift of grace. I think it is easy to look at Lewis, maybe ourselves, or the world in general, and understand what it is like to be full of pride, full of anger, of judgment, of exasperation, probably last but not least, full of ourselves. And before, during, and after Jesus came to this earth, all of those things were and are found. Pride is very present. Judgment, anger, this being full of ourselves. But as I look at grace, I understand that a person full of grace not only has received the gift, but also becomes the gift to all who come into contact with that person. Grace doesn't leave us the same. When we understand grace, we see that what we have received needs to be extended. A person does not earn grace. Grace is a gift that only can be received. To earn something does not make it a gift. We already have gifts and presents underneath our Christmas tree, but they are gifts that have been given. They've been bought, they've been purchased, they've been tagged, and someone is going to receive it. But on Christmas morning, we will not say, okay, now what are you going to do to earn those gifts? Because as soon as we go into that mode where we're trying to earn those gifts, they're not gifts. They have been given. These gifts have been given. As a child, I remember someone asked me, "What did your mother do to deserve you?" And I said, "She found favor with God." When I have had the question asked of me, "What did Dia do to deserve you?" I usually reply, "She won the lottery." See, this whole idea of deserving, and we wonder, what did you do to deserve this? Or you don't deserve this. And maybe this morning we need to take this little quick refresher course on this gift of grace and understand, you know what? We have done nothing to deserve God's favor. But God in his love says, you know what? I love you. Just the way you are, not as you should be, because none of us are as we should be. But I love you just the way you are, and if you will accept my gift of grace, you'll find that you're not going to stay the way you are. And that grace is going to work in your hearts. And you're going to be changed more into the image of the one who created you. And so we look and we need to think about these things. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." It is a gift. Jesus, God's gift to this world, to mankind. His grace is a gift extended to us. His mercy is a gift extended to us. His love, gifts that are all extended to us. This great gift is called grace. And I think somewhere along the line, Lewis, received God's grace in his life, but somehow the grace he received in the past got mixed up with religion and the need to be right. And as Lewis said, "All this time I've been bound up by religion, I don't want to be bound up anymore." Grace says it's not about trying to do things that are going to measure up and earn this gift of grace or God's favor. Grace is understanding that what we couldn't do for ourselves, Christ did for us when he came into this world as a baby to grow as a man, to become the Savior of the world that had been proclaimed to those in the night he was born. And at that moment that he hung on the cross, we saw the fullness of grace extended to us. Christmas means nothing without Easter. And that's not all humbling. That just makes Jesus a baby that was born. He came into this world as a Savior who would die for our sins, do what we couldn't do for ourselves. That is grace. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, as people who experience God's grace, that you would extend grace. That you would have a desire to be right with God and right with others. In recent years, the church all too often has become known for what we are against. There's many things that people say, the church is anti-this, it's anti-that. And I would say we need to hold to what is truth, but truth and grace must not be separated. We must extend grace. And there are many people in our community, in this world, who do not agree with the things that we stand for according to God's word. But we just can't be against those things. We need to extend grace during those conversations. Thankfully, I'm thankful for the church that gives food to the hungry. And I want to say to you right now, the barrels are almost full out there, and we're going to empty them this week. We have two more weeks, and I want to see them filled again. If you're not aware of this, it seems like everywhere I go, there's food drives and everything, and the need just seems to be incredible. So we have an opportunity to extend grace in little gifts of food. And we want to bless the Salvation Army and their family ministries, the services. So those bins are going to be emptied. Barrels are going to be emptied this week. And let's fill them again. Grace extended through food. The church that gives out blankets and shelter to those in times of cold. The church that sends supplies to countries devastated by the effects of weather and wars. Grace comes back to first and second love. First love, my relationship with God and my love for God, which is possible because I have received God's gift of grace. I have experienced the love of my God who pursued me with his love, the God who loved me first. And out of that, I call it second love. Out of this comes my second love, my love for others. What has been extended to me and what I have received from God must be extended freely and unconditionally to others. You know, I know this is easier for God. I do. It's easier for God to do than it is for me, but thank God for the Holy Spirit whose voice reminds me. Extend grace. Extends grace. Extend grace. I guess I want to borrow a phrase from a song that's on the radio now. It's all about the grace. It's all about the grace. With apologies to Bruce and Grant. Poor Lewis ended up bound in a body cast that maybe we need to ask ourselves the question, what binds us up? The meaning of life, the wasted years of life, the poor choices of life, God answers the mess of life with one word, grace. Quote from Max Lucado. The meaning of life, the wasted years of life, the poor choices of life, God answers the mess of life with one word, grace. Christmas can feel like that body cast, can't it? There are many things at the Christmas season that just seem to come back in a great power. Past hurts, experiences, tough years, things have happened. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, in the Message, it reads this way, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And I understand in Galatians they're talking about false teachers, but there's so many things that can be put upon us that seem to be this, put us into a slavery of yoke, and a reminder that grace sets us free. It's called the Christmas sanctuary. The warmth felt from the fireplace. The tree lights reflecting on the television screen. The gifts beautifully wrapped. The candy tray continues to invite one to enjoy its treats. All this and more are present in my Christmas sanctuary. It was quiet. Silence that had been absent had reappeared. The moment offered one a chance to reflect, not just for this Christmas season, but for countless others gone by. The gifts for the children as they slept through the night, this night of anticipation, were waiting to be given, to be held, to be opened, discovered, enjoyed. My mind started to travel, memories unraveled, gifts that I had given, others I had received, a smile, a tear, a shake of my head, a familiar experience in my Christmas sanctuary. In all of this Christmas, I looked for one word to describe, to contain, to make clear what was at the core of all this. Hope, peace, joy, love. Yes, but there was more. The reflection continued, and then quietly I whispered, grace. Grace. Not what I wanted, but what I needed. Not what I desired, but what was extended to me. Unmerited, but given. Unconditionally, grace. In these quiet moments, my thoughts were now centuries ago. The news given, the birth of, the arrival of seekers finding God's indescribable gift, grace. Back to the now, I thought of how things had changed, and yet they have remained the same. The desire to extend it to others, the need to receive it from others. Grace, may it be ever present in the sanctuary of Christmas. The busyness of this season will have some of you exhausted, head spinning. Your soul will feel empty. And I encourage you to understand this gift of grace. The fullness of God's grace. And this morning, as I close, I encourage you to receive this gift. Receive it in a new and a fresh way. To extend it freely, unconditionally, to those who we meet. But I think we need to ask ourselves one last question. Are we going to be bound, or will we see grace abound? The gift of grace. Let us pray.